Christmas in July. Where does this come from? Right? That's the question that I had for myself. And I find that it's not what Art Van does at the middle of the year to have yet another sale. Right? July is actually the peak of winter in the Southern Hemisphere, and there are places in the Southern Hemisphere who intentionally celebrate Christmas at the peak of their winter at this time of year. Places like Australia and Comoros and Madagascar and Bolivia and Angola and places like that. This is a thing, and it came before any of the retail adaptation of the thing, right? So we're mimicking our brothers and sisters in the Southern Hemisphere in having a Christmas in July celebration this morning. As Penny was reading the scriptures this morning, I was reminded, I have an odd mind, you'll have to just track with me. I was reminded that my parents each ate weird things with peanut butter. Like, my mom, we used peanut butter and Miracle Whip. Like gross. Look, right down here, we got another person in the world, like, ugh. Like, that sounds gross to me, right? And my dad used to put peanut butter and a slab of bologna on his sandwich and eat that together. Yeah, right? But we jumped from Matthew, we're talking about giving, to Acts, a scripture that we had just encountered a week or so ago in our journey through Acts for the summer. And there's just one place where there's a parallel, and I hope we get there in the message. So this isn't peanut butter and mayonnaise, right? It is not that, or peanut butter and Miracle Whip, whatever you would prefer. Pray with me. Neither is an option, too. I'll leave that. All right. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for God's presence in this space, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and minds, not just to hear your word this morning, but to encounter your word, to be changed, having heard your word. Lord, I ask for myself that you empty me, and you so empty me that your Holy Spirit would fill me up and pour from me, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing to you. We pray this in all things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I've heard the Acts of the Apostles referred to as the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Right? If you track the gospels, the telling of the story of Jesus happens four times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have this book of Acts written by Luke, which is a continuation of the story from Luke's gospel. And if you read it with your mind set on the idea that it's the gospel of the Holy Spirit shows up so often in Acts. It's the telling of that story. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected by the time Acts is happening and has ascended to the right hand of God. Before going, Jesus makes a promise that God would send the Holy Spirit in his name. The Holy Spirit would then remind us of all that Jesus has taught us and provide guidance to help for those who would believe. Again and again in Acts, the Holy Spirit shows up and amazing things are happening. People are healed from all kinds of illnesses. People are raised from the dead. Whole families are accepting Christ, and the Holy Spirit is anointing even those outside those recognized as God's chosen people. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, what would one day become the Christian church is growing by thousands daily. The disciples cannot keep up with the work, and lay people are stepping up, being trained and caring for widows and orphans, working at the food pantry, right? Now, according to Pew researchers, there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world. This movement that started almost 2,000 years ago continues to grow. Roshan and I had dinner with her aunt and uncle this week. John and Beverly Swem. They have been missionaries in China for 30 years. Their children have worked in the mission field there as well. When I said something about the shrinking church in the U.S., John simply said to me, "Go to China or go to Africa." The church is burgeoning in those places, growing so fast, it's something akin to Acts in the New Testament. He alluded to the fact that in those places, there are new believers every day, and the Christian church is growing more dramatically there than it is declining in the U.S. Christianity is still gaining ground. John then talked about how amazing it was to be around such a concentration of new believers. Their hearts are on fire for the gospel, and there is so much excitement about this new mission that God has placed in them and on them. That conversation with John and Beverly gave me pause to ask the question, where did that excitement about the gospel fade from here? Is our excitement diminished? As a nation, I think perhaps we became complacent about the gospel. It's been a part of most of our lives for most of our lives. The message of grace and forgiveness isn't new to us. How it can ever fail to be exciting, I don't know, but it isn't new. But wait. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. There's no reason that the gospel should ever get stale to us. No reason we should ever get complacent about the message of Jesus Christ. Christ came that all things might be made new. In 2 Corinthians, it says that when anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The new has come. The old has gone. There's newness in the gospel of Jesus Christ for us for every day. We are made new in the Lord. God had made a new covenant with his people through Jesus Christ, God's Messiah. There is so much for us to be excited about. Whether you've been a Christian for your entire memory or you came to know Jesus Christ yesterday, being a Christian is exciting business. Coming to church should never be routine or boring. We are coming together to worship God, and there isn't another thing that is more exciting than that in the world. Perhaps other people aren't excited about church because we aren't excited about church. Maybe we have lost that fire that we once had as a new Christian. The fire that John and Bev described in the new Christians in China. But there is one time of year when church remains exciting, I think. In that season, attendance doubles in many places. We add services to make room for more worshipers. We spend a month in preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ every year. During that season, we collect and give away thousands of dollars in food and gifts. And it isn't only regular church attenders that are more generous during the Christmas season. In 2016, 35% of all charitable gifts in the U.S. were given during the holidays. 35% given in a two-month span. We simply pay more attention to giving when we are reflecting on the generosity of God demonstrated in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is generosity that breeds generosity. Is it excitement that breeds excitement? Fire starts from fire. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, right? I mean, how many people went to camp at all as kids, right? And you could sing that song in your sleep. There's truth. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Right. Our mission as God's church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The first, most important way to begin that process is to work at rekindling our excitement for and with Jesus Christ. No one else is going to be excited about church unless we're excited about church. Our excitement will then breed excitement, and our generosity will breed generosity, and God's church will grow. Amen. Preach it. Speak it. Right? I met a neighbor over the past couple of months. We did a neighboring series a while ago, and we talked about being good neighbors. But I met a neighbor in the last couple of months. He grew up in the subdivision where the parsonage is, and he had come back. His father had passed away a few years ago, and his mom moved to Florida, and she didn't settle the house. So he came back to settle the house and to kind of move some of her stuff and to take care of things. She's not ready to sell the house yet, but he came back to take care of things. His name is Drew, and Drew had the strangest breed of dog I think I've ever seen. The dog literally had dreadlocks, right? Like big, floppy dreadlocks about this long, right? And the dog walked behind him probably 25 yards. The dog was never in a hurry. So I commented on the breed a lot. I talked to Drew about his dog, and his dog was so unusual that it was a conversation starter for sure. Then Drew told me that he actually grew up there and spent many a summer at VBS at Chapel Hill. He had fond memories of VBS at Chapel Hill. He was in church here a week or so ago. He just came back for nostalgia, right? He's packed the truck, and he's on his way to Florida with his mom's stuff now. But before Drew left, we sat down on the front porch, and we talked about generosity of spirit, right? A concept that maybe folks don't always think of, but there's more than one way to be generous. We talked about generosity of spirit. I have not met someone more generous of spirit than Drew. He was just so giving of himself and so kind. And before he's only there a couple few weeks, and he said, I don't even know if I want to go now. I've met so many cool people in this neighborhood. This was a great neighborhood when I lived here as a kid, and it's still a great neighborhood. Generous of spirit, this guy was. And we shared something that I think will last. We've been in contact even since he left. He's on the road. We're going on vacation in a minute. I asked him if we could put some cars in his driveway because I have a fleet of cars coming here, and then we're leaving in one. So, and he said, sure, no problem. Right. Then I asked him what the house number was because I said, it'd be a big mistake for us to put all those cars in someone else's driveway. Right. Oops. Right. So in the passage from Acts that we shared this morning, the angel of God, if not the Holy Spirit, certainly inspired by the Holy Spirit, says to Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter. This exchange between Peter and the household of Cornelius, it says he had called together his relatives and close friends, his household. It seems to be a response to Cornelius's prayers and gifts. God initiates this exchange. The prayers and gifts of a man who has not yet received Christ are received by God, and God honors these prayers and gifts by calling upon Peter to offer Cornelius and all of the people with him the good news of Jesus Christ. This is not the normal sequence of evangelism the way we know it, right? I mean, how many of you have had a call from your friends that said, hey, I had this voice of an angel tell me that I should call you, and you should come to my house and tell me all about Jesus. Oh, that it would be that easy. Right? But it isn't, or it isn't always. Right? What about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch that we talked about a couple of weeks ago? He's already made a pilgrim to Jerusalem. He's already reading the book of the prophets when Peter approaches. We learned last week that Cornelius had already been worshiping God in the temple and was a man of prayer and generosity before Peter shows up to share the gospel. John Wesley called this kind of thing prevenient grace, or the grace that comes before. God is at work in the world preparing the hearts of people everywhere to receive God's message of grace and acceptance. It's already happening. When we arrive to share Christ's story in our lives with them, we can assume that God has already been present in some way. Prevenient grace is the presence of the Holy Spirit calling us toward God even before we know that we need God. End Wesleyan theology lesson for today, right? Wesley had a lot of stuff going on. Prevenient grace is one of my favorites. But let's get back to God honoring Cornelius' gift. Matthew Henry's commentary says that the kind of giving that God honors is the kind of giving that first honors God. Cornelius was generous and humble. His giving is giving that models the kind of giving that we read about in Matthew 6 when Jesus is teaching about giving and prayer. Beware, do not do your good deeds standing on the corner where everyone can see. Right? Give in secret that the right hand should not know what the left hand is doing. Or left hand, not know what the right hand is doing, depending on your handedness. Be humble about what you're giving, because that kind of giving honors God. And God honors the kind of giving that honors God. Right? It's an exchange. I can't promise you the voice of an angel and all that Cornelius had, but I can tell you that when we do as we are instructed and we give from what God has given us generously and humbly, God honors that kind of giving. What God asks of us is that we respond to God's blessings in our lives by giving so that our gifts then become God's blessings to others. Blessing is a two-way street, a two-sided coin. In order for someone to be a blessing in someone else's life, someone has to receive that blessing. This is a lesson my mom and I struggle with all the time. She's a doer, a giver. She does not like to be waited on. She doesn't like people to do things for her. She wants to be doing the giving. She always wants to be the blesser. I have to remind my mother that if she doesn't receive the blessings that her family and friends have for her, that she's stopping them from being a blessing. Just open your hands and receive the blessings God has in store for you. It's part of the cycle. That's not what we do every time, but in order for blessings to work, there has to be a giver and a receiver. Sometimes, no matter how stubborn you are, you must be the receiver. I'm telling you right here, right now. I know there are people that are shaking their heads. Right? Sometimes, cussed independence does not work. It breaks the cycle of blessing. Holiday baskets. I mean, this idea about celebrating Christmas in July came from a missional concern that we're helping so many families at Christmas time during Thanksgiving and Christmas that we're out giving ourselves a bit in that place in church life. So we said, what if we celebrated Christmas in July and we took an offering in the middle of the summer when we weren't buying holiday gifts and doing holiday traveling and doing all those kinds of things. What if we did that then and we did it again in November? We give people a chance to be a little more generous because we're asking for that in a season when spending might be a little less. And then when we started doing our homework, we decided that this would be really fun, a chance for us to have a potluck in the middle of the year and come together and celebrate the generosity of food. Speaking of potluck, a little matter of business while we're right here. This camp staff has to receive all of the campers this afternoon back at Wesley Woods, so I'm going to ask that you let them eat first so that they can get through the line and get their food and get out of here. No, there's no requirement they leave food for us. They're our guests. They're our guests, and we will just generously offer them the potluck, and we'll follow them. If you follow them really closely, you might get some of what's on their plate, Dave. That'll work. All right. So generosity is one of the most exciting parts of being in ministry with God. We have seen God's gifts multiplied right before our eyes in this church. When we came together to form one church, God's blessings literally multiplied before our eyes. We found resources we didn't even realize that we held. Right? To the tune of six figures in places. It gives us the ability to do some things that we weren't able to do before. We are generously blessed by God in this place. Right? And I don't think we have to be silent about God's redistribution of our gifts. Right? When we are able to help people because God has moved individuals within our church to generosity, We get to proclaim the good news by telling people what motivated us to give. Right? We get to proclaim Jesus Christ in our generosity, in our giving, and that is exciting. As a church, we're able to give away because individuals within the church humbly and faithfully give. Our biggest missional outreach happens at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We talked about that. We'll give somewhere around somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 away during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Right? That matches what we give to the food bank for the year. We match it in 2 months. Really, about a month. Right? In our giving. That is exciting stuff. We're having Christmas in July because we don't want to save it all for Christmas. Just like the words of that song. Give a little love every day. Because seasons come and go. But Jesus didn't come at Christmas and then depart and be gone from us for the rest of the year. The Holy Spirit works in us all year long. It's just an anniversary of something very special that happened in the church. The generosity that Jesus placed in our hearts is present day in and day out, every day of every month of every year. As Christians, our commitment to giving and generosity doesn't happen on an annual calendar. Our response to God's generosity in our lives is generosity. That's it. That's how it works. And it is a tremendous blessing for us to be able to be generous in our community. And those things we should celebrate. Right? Remember the term kindergarten happy? We should be kindergarten happy about the ways that we can be generous in the community because of the faithful people who were generous here each Sunday. And that is exciting. I don't know if you've lost excitement about the good news of Jesus Christ, or if you've tucked it away somewhere and are waiting for it to rekindle. But I will pray that that rekindling happens quickly. And the cool thing about rekindling is when the fire rekindles in one of us and we stand close to someone else that there's a fire in, that will rekindle and get warmer. And when they stand next to someone else, that will rekindle and get warmer. Getting exciting yet? Standing next to someone else, and that will rekindle and get warmer. And the fire will continue to grow until we are lit afire again for Jesus Christ. That is my prayer for us. That is what I ask of you in generosity of material gifts and generosity of spirit. Be generous with the things with which God has been generous to us. Amen? Amen. Amen.